recording now. So, right, we're here at yet another podcast. Yeah. Great stuff. And we're here with Rob Taylor, here being Ringing Low, which is my favourite spot in Sheffield. And it's a Sunday, so it's quite an unusual one. So, Rob.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you for inviting me to Ringing Low on a Sunday afternoon.
There seem to be lots of grey times.
Yeah, I wish that cloud cover weren't there, because it's a cracking view over Sheffield just there, isn't it?
Oh, we're missing it. Oh, it's
high. You can see the outline of the Hallamshire.
Yes, you can pick it out. Yeah, you can. That's what it is. Very, very murky.
Yeah.
I often see the ferry bridge and the.
Oh yeah. I think the first time we met, you could see right across. Is that Lincolnshire way?
Straight across the M1 into Rotherham and way beyond that, over out towards the A1.
It's amazing, isn't it? It took me 10 minutes to get here from Greenough, where I live. You don't realise how close you are to this.
Yeah.
Obviously, well, I do, because I live here, but but people new to Sheffield or something just don't realise how close they are to...
I bet you half of Green Hill don't know, or don't even know about the Norfolk Arms, which is in Ringing Low. Hathersage is, you know, like a summer destination.
It's a 20-minute drive to Hathersage from my house.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So most amazing. People on the west side of Sheffield are within 20 minutes of the heart of the Peak District.
What, are we the only city with a Peak District within its borders? With a national park in its borders?
National park. Probably.
I think, yeah.
Is that right?
It's a bit of a...
I'm just trying to think of the national parks.
A random Sheffield stat attack for you, that one.
Oh, is it? Oh, well, you should know.
Try and find these things out.
Well, Sheffield has lots of firsts, doesn't it? It's when I first came to Sheffield, it was all about being the greenest. But also the dirtiest.
Oh yeah, we have the most trees of any city in Europe, apparently.
Ah, despite the fact our council tried to cut them all down.
They're trying to get second place, I think.
Yeah.
Desperate to get second place in that competition. We invented football.
Yep. Okay. And now the interesting about that is, and I do know this because I was involved firsthand, is that they sold the rule books for a song, which wasn't very clever. These are the original rules of association football. They auctioned them to pay for the Sheffield Football Club, the original.
The original
In Dronfield
incarnation.
Yeah, and that was the idea, was to sort of, you know, put them on a decent stadium and sort it all out. I think they were in prefabs before that.
Yeah,
and they were expecting millions. And they got, I think, after tax and after auctioneer's commission, about 600,000.
Oh, really? Oh, goodness.
Now, I was shocked because a friend of mine lives in America, and they were selling the NBL, you know, the baseball things. And they were marketing those rules, and apparently they went for over $10 million.
Yeah. And that's something that one country
plays. And that's just one country. It's not you would have thought on that basis.
Football's got 1 billion people interested in it, and it started from Sheffield.
Yeah.
It's something we should shout way more about.
Right. Well, shout about it.
it's not for lack of trying. There just seems to be some hesitance. Sometimes.
Yeah. So I just to make sure that we know who's it's Rob Taylor.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. We talked about the Hallamshire first, didn't we?
Yeah.
Rob Taylor. I have a small local marketing company, O114 Marketing. A couple of side projects, the Dad's in Business project. I was a promoter for 13 years based out of Sheffield, promoting live gigs and clubs. Still dabble in that as well, but moved into more proper business, I guess, when the kids started arriving.
Proper business, yeah. You have to be a proper...
Helping proper people, yeah,
right, okay.
Exactly. So I'm trying to apply what I learned from my days and years promoting clubs and gigs, and realised that was the sort of fun stuff, the fun way of promoting things, and all of that could just apply to proper business as well. But proper business can sometimes be a bit too stuffy. So I went on a mission to find the kitchen table entrepreneurs, if you like. Those that are sitting in their loft behind keyboards.
Right.
On a mission to get them out and sharing and collaborating and creating ideas that... And out of their vans, for example.
Out of their vans.
Out of their van office.
Well, this is probably precisely why we've got together in many ways, isn't it?
It is, exactly.
We're all about the whole idea of the businesses, you know, the podcasting, the blogs, is bringing businesses together.
You have to create that opportunity for these people to collide.
Yeah.
And that's where the best stuff happens.
So we're in a, we're, we, as I was, I watched that leaders thing, you know, the Question Time.
Oh yeah,
on
yeah.
Thursday.
Yeah,
in, it was there, that was in Sheffield. So Sheffield, the centre of the earth. At the
it
moment.
Was. It was up at the university, I think. Wasn't it
was. It? Yeah. And yeah, they had a cauldron. I don't know. That's their note. A cauldron is the wrong word. A court. They cordoned off the whole.
There's a difference there. Isn't
well, there is a bit of difference. But maybe that was a Freudian slip. It was a cauldron. But
maybe they
was,
should have had a cauldron.
Yeah, they had the four leaders here, didn't they?
Yeah.
Bizarrely, not with the Greens.
Well, I don't know why, and I don't want to get into too much political stuff, but why the SNP were there? Because I can't vote for the SNP.
No. No, absolutely.
So I don't know why. I can vote for Lib Dems, Greens, Tories, Labour.
Yep.
Can't vote for SNP.
No, I think the only thing was representation in Westminster.
And why weren't Plaid Cymru? Why weren't they there?
Yeah. Well, apparently they have a... I've heard, and I haven't seen it yet, but I think Channel 4 are doing a second tier.
The other ones. Yeah, the championship level ones.
Yeah, the Premiership versus the... Well, there you go. It is an analogy. I think it is. Mm. I'm not sure. I think it's Channel 4. Because they'll have gone for that sort of, you know, they won't have to pay them so much or whatever the going rate is.
So what was that, the DUP and Farage and all that?
Yeah, I think the Brexit Party, aren't they?
Oh, them now. Yeah.
No, we don't need to. It's interesting that Sheffield, and I think Sheffield was on, and then that was, and then there was something else on national radio on the Friday from Sheffield. Was that another BBC? It was on a typical Radio 4 programme.
Okay. Right.
And it was from Sheffield. So we had two events. National type events or out on national radio.
There is a lot that happens independently of people pushing it. I think people just seem to come to us.
Right.
And just driving over here this morning, I was listening to Five Live and they were talking about Sheffield United in the Prem, and then we talk about this. There's so much. The snooker comes to Sheffield, and Arctic Monkeys is the biggest band in the world from Sheffield. It's great.
Yeah. But
we need to come out of the shadows and shout about it a little bit more. I think.
Oh. I've been doing this for 40 years and I'm not sure that we've made any progress.
Mm.
You know, and I'm trying to be very positive about it. In fact, there's lots of things going on, but we seem to have to punch not above our weight. We have to punch just to get to our weight.
Yeah. Well, go back to the football thing, the invention of football. If Manchester invented football, the world would know about it.
Right.
Hands down. The World Football Museum is in Manchester.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I'm not a football fan.
Seven floors of football.
Where's that based?
Just next, near the arena. It's dead central, as everything is in Manchester. Right. It's right in the centre there, yeah. But if
so, is that a new thing?
It's quite a new thing.
Is it?
Yeah, it looks like a fancy new building as ever goes up in Manchester.
Yeah.
But yeah. Just.
So what are they doing differently then that Sheffield's not?
Again, at risk of getting too political, I think it's just a bit of a proactive... approach. Mm-hmm. There's an opportunity. Let's do it.
So, what's stopping Sheffield doing that? Come on. You said you didn't want to be political. This is not political. This is. We're living.
I don't know who it is that needs to turn the handle to make things like that happen. But I've had in my own experiences in the past, the go-to answer from those who could help is no, because not, yes, how, and it's just that simple sort of. Switch in those words, I think, are quite powerful. When I can imagine other cities like Manchester saying, "Yeah, how do we get that?" Not no, because.
No, I see. Oh, right. Okay.
So everything just gets shut down.
It's my own personal thoughts about it on this, and they are personal, but that's kind of why we feel passionate about it.
Mm.
Is that there's no joined up thinking.
Mm.
You know,
so what do you mean by that? Then? Who isn't joined up that should be? I'm going to flip that to you.
Yeah,
now.
No, absolutely. That's great. It's because I think the city is naturally demographically divided by the Seven Hills, and there is real almost tribalism within the city itself.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of, you know, if you're living in Stannington, you wouldn't be seen dead in Lodge Moor type thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you're looking about the hills going round, and there's really quite a divide. We live on the west side of Sheffield. You know, the east side of Sheffield is different.
It's like another city, isn't
like
it?
Like another city, exactly. So I don't think there's that joined up thought that people kind of part of a larger entity.
Hmm.
And Manchester, Leeds maybe have those, maybe have that because people kind of align themselves with the name Manchester. It's not Didsbury, it's not Bedenton.
Yeah, people in Greater Manchester are happy to be called Greater Manchester, aren't they? Because I don't think you get that in the Sheffield City region. No.
I think also that, you know, the idea that, although we have 500,000 population within the boundaries, I think realistically the actual living side of it is much less than that, half of that, I would suggest.
Yeah.
So it's not as big a city.
Yeah.
The close-knit city.
Well, it's quite spread out, yeah. Its boundaries are huge, aren't they?
And they're huge, and they're divided by the hills.
Yeah, you go all the way out to Stocksbridge or something, it's about an hour's drive from here.
Yeah.
At least.
To get to it, which is kind of like going across London.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's huge.
So but I think that divides the city. I think it divides it up so people are sort of a bit more sort of partisan about that. We were talking about something, maybe, you know, promoting Sheffield, about infrastructure and manufacturing and all that sort of stuff. You go to China, which is the obvious place. You say, you know, in 40 years they've built a £12 million city.
Yeah.
12 million population.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've gone from nothing, fields, to 12 million. And they've built an entire city.
That's twice London, isn't it? What's London, 6 million?
No, London's near 10 or 12.
Is it?
I think it's a sort of similar size to London.
Wow.
But they've built it in 40 years. You know, that's just crazy. That's one extreme.
Mm.
We're struggling to get an industrial corridor from Rotherham to Doncaster Airport.
I know.
Or our
I went to Manchester for a training delivery the other day. And I left my house at 6:15 in the morning. A taxi to Bamford to get picked up, and then we set off from Bamford to Manchester, and we arrived at, I think, 8:40.
Oh, okay.
So it was 2.5 hours
to do
50 miles.
Well, it's not if that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It shouldn't take that long, should it?
No. So we've got there's a natural sort of barriers.
Mm.
So I think we need to be a bit more inventive about how do we do it. So rather than copying other cities, for example, we need to tap into the resource that is naturally within the city.
So at risk of us sitting here moaning like two old blokes, what is that? what's the productive side of that?
What do we your company's 0114 marketing.
Yeah.
Now everybody in Sheffield knows what 0114 is because it's our SDD code.
Yeah.
I said that's identified with Sheffield but do other people outside Sheffield identify that? Or do they question with
some do.
Yeah.
But then I just explain that the brand and the way it's formatted with its online delivery and workshops and networkings. It's designed for the Sheffield businesses to come out and engage.
So it's with marketing. Targeting Sheffield.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. So you're not sort of becoming a Saatchi or a...
Oh, no.
Sort of marketing.
No.
You know.
And the brand can travel because then it just becomes another brand name, doesn't it?
What I'm getting at is that could be the Sheffield... You could be a beacon.
Well...
In that sense.
Yeah, the brand could be.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's its calling card. It says what it does on the tin.
Right.
I point here because my badge is normally there.
and we're on radio.
Yeah, exactly. it calls out its market. 0114 Marketing, Sheffield Marketing. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, we've set out to help these small businesses do what they do better.
Excellent.
With a view of raising all ships, as they say.
Okay. We met around the blogging.
Yeah.
And we were talking about specifically about dads in business.
Yes.
Now, my first reaction, I'll be honest, here was that sounds like a self-help group.
Mm, yeah.
But dads in business is, to explain a bit more about that. So why did you end up with
that? Well, I mean, I guess I set that up after hearing a talk from a colleague of mine on that project, Anger Cara, who I think you're going to be chatting to at some point about it or something similar.
Yep.
He was talking about burnout, and this was winter 2018, I think it probably was. when the irony is that it was about 8 or 9 o'clock at night. I was at a networking event listening to a guy talk about burnout and take time off, and it's 9 o'clock at night a few weeks before Christmas. I was like, I should probably be at home right now. But thankfully I was there, because the dads in business thing probably wouldn't exist if it wasn't for that. I know you say, oh, it sounds like a self-help thing. I mean, it kind of is, in a way.
Yeah.
Because I see dads, I've got 3 young kids at home. I see dads having a unique set of circumstances that aren't addressed in the workplace.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of women in business, mom's business network, all that sort of mom and woman or lady orientated stuff, and that's fine. I'm not saying that the dads and the men stuff is more important, so the moms and women should simmer down. I just think the dads need an equal billing.
Right. Is this sort of kind of balancing out the positive discrimination?
I wouldn't even come at it like that. Well, I'm a dad. I find it difficult. I can't be the only one that finds it difficult juggling work-life balance, dealing with these pressures and those pressures. I can't go to any other networking event to talk about it or business forum to talk about it. I'll set up my own.
Right.
Such is the, I guess, the promoting nature in me. If it doesn't exist, I'll create it. So I floated the idea online, and a lot of women, which was really nice, were tagging in their husbands about it. So this is what you need to get into. This is what you've been looking for. This is what. So hopefully, it's just sort of opened the lid a little bit.
Yeah.
Recently we delivered that for Amazon's headquarters, who see that as quite an important project for them and their internal social responsibility, I guess.
Yeah.
They see dads as an underserved crowd. And more on LinkedIn, people are saying, yes, this is important. This is important. Let's talk. Right. Getting invited onto other podcasts and for opinions and thoughts around it. So, yeah, it's turned into quite an important project, I think.
So being... That sounds quite exciting in terms of, you know, it's bringing out new ideas or, you know, that's, and I can kind of get that, you know, as I mean, I've always, you know, I've brought up a family, but as I can, it's kind of instilling. Now I've got a sneeze. I think that's the first sneeze I've ever had. I think I coughed for the first time.
Last goodness.
Yeah, so it's not. Bringing up the kids in with a balance. You know, you've, as a parent, you feel responsible, you know, as you hopefully most parents do. But maybe the you've picked on, you know, you've got it picked on a dad's in business or dad's in work. And it's not, is it specifically aimed at self-employed?
No, well, the sort of strap line is, you know, it's those that are running business or in positions of decision-making responsibility, I guess, or those that have got a team underneath them where the pressures of work are high.
Yeah.
But then it's about how do you drop that and don't take work home and don't take home to work, and it's about identifying the split and the cutoff, thinking, okay, well, how can I be more present at work and then more present at home, and understand that the quality time here is with the kids and the wife, and the quality time is at work. So where's the divide come, and about managing that, really, and the crazy expectations that I pile on myself.
Is that your own characteristics, or is that something you recognise in other people, the pressures that people apply?
I think now I've called it out, it's more common than I thought, because I thought it must just be me.
you're suffering alone.
Because it was redundancy that made me choose to go self-employed. So then that self-employed thing, there's a time where that isn't paying very well.
Yeah,
well, it's still not. It could pay more.
I think we ought to hope more revenue.
But then it's like, well, I could actually get paid more in a job, but I chose not to, so therefore I need to justify that. So that's the sort of pressure balance that I put on myself to think, well, it was my decision. Now you have to prove a point. Which is where the amount of pressure sort of burdens you, especially when you've got 3 kids under 5.
You're following in my footsteps. So 3 under 5. Yeah, we had 3 under 5. They all grow up very, very quickly.
I don't want to wish their lives away at all. It's just, you think, okay, when I'm 40, they'll be 11, 9 and 7.
Yeah, okay.
That's got to be manageable.
you're going to be healthy, which is another kind of one of my things about health, well-being.
Business. Well, exactly. You've got to look after yourself. I sacrifice any gym time to go home straight after work, so I don't get any time to cut off. which is something I need to work on a little bit better.
Like, you know,
the stresses and pressures of having your own business, working for yourself, going to work, whatever that might be. If then you're going straight into a home where you've got three kids under five, who then demand what a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old needs,
mm-hmm.
plus the wife, there's no separation time.
Right.
And that's kind of what the dad's in business project.
Right. So when's the next thing? Because I think I got some notification about that. Have you just had one?
We had one a couple of weeks ago in Sheffield.
Right.
I think there's going to be one in December with the FSB, Federation of Small Business. So we're looking for some partners to help drive its awareness, so someone like the FSB would be great. Slowly with the Chambers of Commerce,
right,
they seem like big ships to turn in terms of opinion,
right,
okay. But there's seeds planted in there to hopefully drive the message forward. Following up with Amazon, hopefully, where we get more structured agreement in place to deliver that on a more global scale potentially.
Well, again, Amazon is, I mean, this is presumably it's Amazon UK, or did
the session we did down in London was a live in-person session, but they also recorded it and streamed it on a webinar, and we had I think 150 dads from New York, Austin, Seattle, Luxembourg, across Europe and the UK, watching the whole thing live.
Right. Did they contribute?
Yeah, they were all contributing, saying, "Where's this been? This is what I need."
It's in that Amazon document. Yeah, that's somewhere in there that's looking after their employees. Yeah,
across however many time zones people were watching from an idea formed from Sheffield.
Yes. Ah, well, you see, this is interesting. This is back to precisely the point: is what can we chat about? You know, we've been doing stuff, quite a lot of stuff on climate. And how businesses can contribute.
Oh, of course.
That's a big thing, and we've decided that the Industrial Revolution started here. I think it's a justifiable claim, you know, in the Hope Valley. You know, maybe it's just the way it works out that we have hope. We started the Industrial Revolution, and now
it's your fault.
So we kind of feel responsible. So why don't we lead the, you know, cleaning it up or changing the whole climate debate. And it's interesting how that's, you know, like a subject that people align themselves to. But it's also a subject that people are afraid to put their heads above the parapet. You know, they'll maybe a larger business is an employer, maybe up to say 200 employees in a relatively small area. You know, they tread carefully. When in reality what they should be doing is shouting a bit more about what they're actually doing and being much more open about it.
Yeah.
My natural instincts are to share and get people out there and talking about it rather than being protective and then waiting for somebody to discover something which they just, you feel like you
just
have
start
to defend it.
Sort of thing. Yeah.
So the I think just a sort of, you know, kind of thing about the Sheffield, when I first came here, it was the dirtiest city in Europe or something in the 70s, and it looked a bit like it is today.
You'll have had all the factories from Attercliffe to Meadowhall.
Yeah. Exactly, all that area was full of smoking stacks.
So all the factory owners lived this side, I think, up sort of the Fullwood Ranmore area.
Yep.
All the factory workers lived
down in
the valley there, didn't
they? Yeah, Attercliffe and stuff. Yeah. Well, it's all changed, but the industry has moved into very different directions.
It's more efficient, isn't it?
Yeah,
I guess,
well, that's what we've got to shout about. You know, we've got to tell people that, you know, these businesses are going to have a future, scalable.
Well, we created stainless steel as well.
Created stainless steel, and now we're producing more specialised steel than we've ever done.
Yeah, but I think more cutlery as well.
Is it more?
Did I hear that
as well?
or more scissors or something like that? It's just done in a tiny little factory now, not sprawled across.
We have one of the original scissor manufacturers, don't we?
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah, maybe the original.
I think it's the last one left. And they've gone and marketing it on the back of they're the only one left.
The little Mesters down there.
Yes. And that's because of the internet, you know, you can get out, you can flog scissors anywhere, you know.
Yeah.
So like your webinar, you know, you can get out to the world.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't have to travel the world.
So quick and possible.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm.
Right. Well, as ever, you're on a time schedule. Guess what time it is?
Oh God! Is this going to get me in trouble?
You'll be in trouble. It's 1:30.
Oh, great! Perfect timing.
Perfect timing. So I'm just going to say, yeah, that was great fun. I enjoyed that. thanks, Rob, for your
thank
time.
You for inviting me.
Okay, and see what happens. I'll be interested to see what we'll feedback on the comments and so on.
Perfect. So, nice one.
Good.
Brilliant. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you.